It's the fifth Sunday that we've been reading from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Next Sunday we'll go back to the Gospel of Mark. And we've been hearing how Jesus insists with very dense, stark realism that his flesh is true food, his blood is true drink. Well, they get to a point where now his disciples feel that they cannot take this. They cannot understand it. It makes no sense. Jesus had been criticized by his adversaries, by the Jewish people, as the Gospel of John says, by the Jews. But now it is the disciples. It is his followers who say it's too much. They want to quit. They want to leave him. And in the end of the Gospel we hear, they did no longer accompany him. They abandoned him. Why? Well, because Jesus' claim was too radical, too absolute. There's an interesting book by a Jewish scholar and rabbi, Jacob Neusner, a book that has been quoted extensively by Pope Benedict in his own book, Jesus of Nazareth. The book that this rabbi wrote is titled, A Rabbi Talks with Jesus. And he says, in this book, I explain in a very straightforward and unapologetic way why, if I had been in the land of Israel in the first century, I would not have joined the circle of Jesus. Many of the things that Jesus says, says this rabbi, are in accordance with biblical spirituality, with Jewish theology. But when Jesus starts making this absurd claim about his identity, that he is above Moses, above the law, he is more than a prophet, that without him we can do nothing, that if you love your mother and father, your very life more than him, you're not worthy of him, that this world will pass away, my words will not pass. When he says, I am the bread of heaven, this I cannot accept, says Neusner. It's the claim, the pretension of Jesus, which C.S. Lewis, the famous writer, called the trilemma. Either Jesus is mad, bad, or God. He is either a lunatic, a liar, or is Lord. He puts you in a spot where you must make a decision. See, Jesus' identity is fundamental to our faith. It's not like the Buddha. The Buddha said, I discovered a path. Do not follow me. Follow the path that I found. Jesus says, I am the way. Muhammad said, I am the prophet of Allah. I come to bring you the truth of Allah. Jesus says, I am the truth. Confucius was the spiritual master who taught his disciples how to live a meaningful, good life. Jesus says, I am the life. This is the absurd, if you wish, claim. And in the discourse of the synagogue in Capernaum that we've been reading these last 5 weeks, Jesus makes these claims. He says, I am the one. In my body, in my own flesh and blood, you receive a gift of life from God. And therefore, you must eat my flesh. You must drink my blood. His disciples find this unacceptable, and they walk away. They leave him. Peter speaks for the disciples, for the 12, he speaks for the church when he says, Lord, to whom should we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. He says, we have come to believe, we have faith, but we are also convinced, we have reasons, we've been persuaded that you are the one. You see, I believe that people leave Jesus when their faith is not as strong and as convinced as the faith of Peter. People leave because their faith was sentimental, was superficial, because maybe they were never really able to make a conscious choice for Jesus. Even today, many people leave. We know. I just read the result of a survey by the Pew Research Center called Americans Changing Religious Landscape. It says that Christianity in the U.S. is diminishing. Catholics, in particular, are losing numbers. Today, in the U.S., 13% of American adults are former Catholics. 13%. There are 3 million less Catholics today than in 2007. And you know what the fastest growing number is instead? Those called nuns. Those who, at the question, what is your religious affiliation, have responded, none. There are 56 million right now in the U.S., 22%. Why do people leave? Well, maybe their faith was not convinced, because we were not convincing. Maybe, you know, they were born Catholic, raised Catholic, their parents had them baptized, maybe they also received communion, maybe they even went to Catholic school, but they never got to a point where they made a decision. And I believe that this is the real challenge we hear in today's first reading. Joshua tells the people of Israel, choose today whom you want to serve. Choose if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, the god that our fathers served beyond the river. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Choose today. There must be a point in our life when we truly choose, when we become intentional disciples. It's one beautiful book that I read fairly recently by Sherry Waddell. It's called Forming Intentional Disciples. Disciples who have made an intentional choice to follow the Lord. If we don't make that intentional choice, sooner or later we will fall away. We will leave. Choose today whom you want to serve. You might answer, you might flatter yourself and say, I don't need to serve anybody. I'm the master of my own destiny. I do not follow the crowd. I create my own path. I heard a lot of such speeches at graduation ceremonies. Don't follow the path that others walked. Create your own path. Well, we have to serve someone. There's even a song by Bob Dylan that says that. Gotta serve somebody. You have to serve someone. There must be an ultimate concern, a point of gravitation in your life. That which fills your mind and heart, your desires, your efforts. That which demands your energy. If it's not God, it would be something else or someone else. In that sense, even atheists have a religion. Even those who profess no faith in God have someone or something that they serve. Joshua says, I will serve the Lord. Peter says, I have come to believe that you are the Messiah. I have come to believe and I am convinced you are the Holy One of God. We have to choose. We have to serve Christ. I believe that this is what we owe the church today, what we owe society today. Give them a convincing testimony, and it will be convincing only if we are convinced, if we have made that choice. We owe this in particular to the younger generations, young people. If we look among our congregations, oftentimes young people are few and far between. They are the ones who are joining at an incredible speed the group of nuns, of non-affiliated. So we need to give them this convincing, this persuaded faith, which comes from a choice that we must make. Let's be intentional disciples. Let's become people convinced of our faith, that Jesus Christ is the one. Remember that movie, The Matrix? When Morpheus says, Neo, he is the one. Well, we know who the one is, Jesus Christ. And so we follow him, we make a choice for Christ. You know, when I was studying theology in Rome, I would go oftentimes to St. Peter to pray and to hope to see the Pope once in a while. And then Pope John Paul II, once in a while, would surprise pilgrims and come down to the Basilica to hear confessions. I was never fast enough to get in line to go to confession with Pope John Paul II. Someone else was more sinner than I was. But I was told that oftentimes Pope John Paul II ended his confessions by saying more or less these words, God forgive you, now you must decide. Now it's your choice. Now you have to choose whom you want to serve. Amen. And now I ask you to remain seated. I would like to call forward the catechists of our religious education program here at Resurrection, catechists also of the RCIA and of our children's Liturgy of the Word. Please come to the sanctuary and remain standing facing